Hey there, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. We're so glad you could be with us today. Man, I got a great guest for you today. Darcy Keith is here with us, and you're going to want to stay tuned and listen to the advice that Darcy has for ex-offenders that are coming home. Remember, The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Darcy Keith is here, and we'll be right with her right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers. You're on The Journey of Hope.
The sound of your heart beating, bum, bum, bum. And I can know.
Got some excellent shows coming up here in the next couple of weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. Ellen Allen, Donnell Morgan. We've got Jeannie Kerrigan's going to be here. All of them have something special to say to ex-offenders as we try to transition from incarceration back into society. These guys have got excellent little tidbits of information that you can pull from the things that they have to say that will help you in this transition. You're going to want to be sure and stay tuned for those shows coming up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, right here on The Journey of Hope.
You, I can tell you've never been this far before. Bum, bum, bum.
I don't. I have left for you behind. For you don't belong to me. Your heart belongs to someone else. Why should I keep loving you when I know?
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. I have on the phone with me today Darcy Keith. Darcy has got a very interesting background. She was cruising along in life and then experienced a major tragedy in her life, which has put her in a position to help us as ex-offenders understand how to come or overcome adversity. She's got some good ideas about how to do that. Welcome to the show, Darcy.
Thank you, Rodney, very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was that happened to you back at that time when you, I believe you had some kind of a traumatic injury or something in your life? Tell us about that.
Okay, yes, I did, Rodney. It was when I was a college senior. I had just gotten a job offer upon graduation the following May. So I was in the fall semester my senior year. I had everything in life going for me. Four of my sorority sisters and I went out of town to another college, started a chapter of our sorority. We were on our way back home to our college, which was Ball State University, when our car got hit by a semi.
Oh, my
gosh. We were broadsided, and two of my sorority sisters sitting next to me in the back seat died.
Oh.
And the two in the front seat that were wearing seat belts, they were buckled up, and they walked away unharmed. But as for me, because the semi T-boned us, it threw my head into the side window and then into the front seat, causing two severe traumatic brain injuries. I was paralyzed on the right side of my body. I had memory loss of my entire college major from all this. And when I woke up out of my coma, I had to relearn how to live all over again.
Oh my
I had to
gosh.
Learn how to eat, how to breathe, being on life support and having a collapsed lung. I had to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to think, how to drive, how to be potty trained, you know, everything mm-hmm. a newborn baby has to do. So
wow.
there were a lot of changes when I came out of my coma that I did not know how to deal with.
And how long were you in a coma?
I was in a coma for 6 days.
Wow. Wow.
So when I came out, it was quite a dramatic change of lifestyle for me, you know, with, you know, dealing with the brain injury, learning how to do all these things all over again differently, because I was not the same person as I was before.
Mm-hmm.
And having to deal with memory loss of my entire college major, having worked for everything in my life, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially, all of it to be gone in just one instant. You know, to have my life turned upside down from a change of which I had no knowledge,
mm-hmm.
That was a big, big change for me in life, was to wake from my coma and just have a whole new life ahead of me that I didn't know how to deal with.
Wow. And you know, it's interesting that I'm able to see some analogies of people who have been to prison, because essentially your life before that is over when you come out. Yeah. For example, Darcy, I was a school teacher and a football coach, and all the education I had in the past and everything, I mean, it means nothing now with a felony record. And so I had to start my life from scratch again, too, as do the listeners who are listening. So I'm sure you've got a lot of great advice. And one of the things I noticed was I think you do a blog, don't you? And you were talking on your blog about steps to create a better, or five tips to create a better future. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I want to hear about that.
Sure. I have five tips to create a better future, and it's also called steps, because when we have a new life ahead of us, we have to take steps. And they may not be big, huge steps. They may be baby steps, but there's still steps that we have to take. And that steps, that word is an acronym for those five tips of creating a better future, okay. Rodney. And the first S is surrender. Let go of what you can't control. You know, I couldn't help that this crash happened to me. I couldn't help that I lost my life before. And sometimes there are things in life that happen to us that we can't control. So I had to let go of that. I couldn't, you know, continue to hang on to the past. If I made any bad decisions in the past, or, you know, you or the folks listening, that we had to kind of forgive ourselves and we have to let go of that, because I made some bad decisions and it's cost me dearly. So we just have to forgive ourselves and move forward.
I noticed that you do talk a lot about decision making. And those of us that have been through a felony are, you know, obviously very guilty of some bad decision making. What kind of advice would you have along the lines of making good decisions? I noticed that you addressed that as well.
Sure. Some of the advice on making good decisions, like, for example, for things that are causing me stress and problems, is identify what is causing us stress. Whether it be work, home, relationships, health, too busy. You know, how do we make good decisions in our life when we have all this stress and all these different things in our lives? So that's one of the first things is looking at, what the situation at hand, whether it be stress, whether it be a financial situation, what identify the root cause of what you need to, how you need to make your decision.
Okay.
And from that root cause, whether it be your family, your health, your relationships, establish priorities in your life from those from that root cause. So if family, you know, like, for example, do I go to my, like last week, for example, it's like, do I go to my daughter's play from theater camp, or do I work? Play theater, you know, what do I do? Well, of course, family is important to me, and that is a priority in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision I made was, you know, this is important to my child.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a decision to go to her theater play rather than, you know, continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
So the second thing I would say is, well, first is identifying the root situation where you need to make your decision. And secondly is to establish priorities in your life.
Okay.
And that includes, like, spending habits. And then third, and the last one, is eliminate or reduce what is not important and what is not urgent. And some of that is are questions you're going to have to ask yourself. You know,
as you said that, I was doing that. I was weighing important and urgent. Give us an example of the difference between important and urgent.
Important is something that yes, it is important in your life. It is important to your well-being. It is important to your family. But urgent is something that needs immediate attention at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I can state a biblical example if you'd like.
Great, yes, please do.
Between important and urgent, for example, when Lazarus was dying, Jesus was far away, and they sent for Jesus to come heal Lazarus. But Jesus did not make it in time before Lazarus died. It was important, but maybe it wasn't urgent, because the reason why it wasn't necessarily the most urgent thing is because then Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead and perform a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the difference between important and urgent. Urgent is immediately you have to get there, you have to do whatever it is right then and there. Important is means, yes, it is important to do, but it's not something you have to drop everything right now and do it.
Darcy, these are excellent ideas. We're going to take just a real quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Darcy about the secret formula to overcoming adversity. We're going to put her on the spot. Darcy, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Rodney Mathers here for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. I know a lot of you out there have taken up music as a way to productively spend your downtime, and you deserve a lot of kudos for that. I want to tell you about a product out there that'll help you improve your playing. It doesn't matter whether you play piano or guitar or bass or fiddle or banjo, mandolin, whatever it might be. There's a product called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and what it does is it teaches you something called the Nashville Numbering System, and it enables you to play a lot of songs in every single key. You can get a free sample of it by going to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. Click on the box that says the Jam Buddy Chord Chart ebook, and you're going to get a free page, a sample page, so that you can see what I'm talking about. You're going to want one of these things. If you like to play music, you need to check out the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. That's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and it's at angiesbanjo.com. Journey of Hope. We're chatting with Darcy Keith today, and I told her right before the break that she was going to have to tell us the secret formula to overcoming adversity. I want to hear that. Let's hear about that, Darcy.
Okay, well, I kind of gave you a little teaser of it for the steps of the surrendering.
Okay.
And then to the T for the steps of the secret formula, because this is something I've learned that I've lived with all my life, unfortunately or not unfortunately, with adversity. But it's try not to play the victim attitude.
Many of us are guilty of that, aren't we?
We are. And like 12 years ago, I went through the Indianapolis criminal court system as a victim of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been on the victim end, but I did not take that victim mentality. Mm-hmm. I was not going to let my life or let that instance control what's going to happen to me. Sometimes when we become a victim, when we begin to see things as one, mm-hmm. and a victim is in this way because he refuses to help himself. So I know, like with my brain injury, I could have said, you know what, my life has changed. What can I do now? My friends have moved on. They can't deal with my brain injury situation, or they don't know how to deal with my brain injury situation. So what good is it for me? Woe is me. I'll just sit here, collect welfare, and live off society.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose not to be a victim of that. I chose to change my circumstances. And just like in the movie Groundhog Day, he changed. The man wakes up every day, Dan Marie, at the same time, same circumstances.
Right.
And he learns that if he just changes one little part of his behavior a day, the next day changes. until the very end, his whole day changed because he changes one little aspect of your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've learned is when I don't play the victim attitude is I change a little bit of my behavior to get out of that situation, whether it be, taking drastic measure, whether it be filing a police report or whether it just be changing my attitude, changing of my behavior, just a little bit of something.
I was definitely guilty of that when I first went to prison, and you see it all around you in prison, and those people that ex-offenders listening to the show will definitely relate to what you're talking about, especially those that have been fortunate enough to have a little bit of treatment. That whole victim stance is a serious thinking kind of error, and it should be avoided at all costs. You're exactly right, and I like the words you use to describe it. What about tips for perseverance through tough times? What can you tell us about that?
Well, tips to persevere through tough times, especially dealing with change, and a lot of tough times in our life, there is a change. There is something that happens, and the secret, I think, to living through tough times and change is when you admit it. You own the change. You own the feeling, the tough times. You express it. You express your fear. Yeah, I mean, there were tough times, like with going back to college after my brain injury. I'm like, I don't know what the future holds for me. I don't know if I'll ever get a job. I don't know if I'll ever be able to graduate from college. What does the future hold for me? And that was a tough time for me. But when I admitted it and I owned it and I felt it and I expressed it, I had the ability to move through it, to transform it into a positive way. And because it's very powerful when, when you're going through tough times to lose sight of things. But when you say, hey, I'm going through a tough time, but I can do it. And that leads actually through on the E part of the steps is having a positive attitude or experiencing and exemplifying a positive attitude. When you own it and you know that that you can do it and just keep telling yourself, my little 8-year-old daughter, she gives positive affirmation. She's going and doing a yard work, and I'm like, what are you doing talking to yourself? She's like, I'm telling myself I can do it. And I'm like, you know what? That's exactly right.
That's right.
When you're going through tough times, you can do it, because when God is for you, who can be against you? And when God is with you and making it through tough times, you can do it too.
Darcy, can you take just a second to address the ex-offenders and their families that are listening to our little podcast here, and some words of encouragement, some things that they should be doing, the ways that they should be thinking? Could you do that for us for just a second?
Sure. First off, I would say probably that just as I felt with my friends leaving me and not knowing how to deal with me and things, you're not alone. You may feel like, okay, I'm in this world by myself, but you're not alone. And the support that you have around you, I'd seek out some positive support. But when you, just like in my last S of my steps formula, if you need help, specifically ask for it. There are a lot of times we can't do our things ourselves. And that's hard to ask for help. I mean, when I was going through going back to college and my brain injury, it was just me. And not knowing how to deal with my new lifestyle, I had to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And there may be some ex-offenders out there that are needing help. And it's okay to ask for it. And that was one of the hard things I had to do, especially in the job or, have people having workloads and stuff. If you need help, ask for it. With the Internet, for example, we use Google a lot, or I use Google a lot. I don't know about you, Rodney, or anybody
mm-hmm.
else.
Oh, I sure do.
I use Google, and if I wanted something specific, let's say I want to buy a car, and I may type in my city where I live, and that and then like a car dealership, or Chevy dealership, or Ford, or whatever, and it lists all the dealerships. But if I want a specific car or narrow down to a certain make and model, I type that in, and it drills down that information for me because I specifically asked for help. So in life, when we don't know where to go or what to do, be seek out help, and it's okay to ask for help. I had to do it, and that helped me achieve the success that I have today by learning sometimes the hard way. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by learning the hard way, Ronnie, is when I went back to college, I had some physical disabilities with my right side, and just getting feeling back from my paralysis. I had attention problems from my brain injury. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask the doctors for a handicap parking pass. Because when, you know, college campus parking is at a premium, and you'd have to park way out in the back 40 and walk to class. And
I have never been to a school that had sufficient parking. Have you?
Exactly. Yeah. But Ronnie, the thing is that they have usually handicap parking passes near the buildings.
That's
or handicap
right.
spaces.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, I'm going to specifically ask for help and get a handicap parking pass. So when I go into class, I won't be tired and sweaty from walking or being carted out from the bus from way out, you know, out on the back 40.
Right.
And I'll be more fresh, and I can focus with my memory problems too. And the doctors told me no. And I was crushed. I was like, no, why? I mean, you know, aren't you trying to help me with my physical and my mental, you know, deficiencies? Because that was going to help me succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me no because they wanted me to grow and they wanted me to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to build up my strength. And they wanted just me to be able to have the mental ability to focus once I got there in class. And actually, Rodney, it did help. So sometimes in life we may specifically ask for help, especially when we're going through tough times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we may feel all alone. And we may feel like we've suffered a lot of loss. You know, we lost time with our family, lost friendships. There may be a lot that we've lost, but, you know, when we specifically ask for help and we know what we need, and sometimes it's hard to know, but when we do, ask for help, because folks are out there to help you. There are plenty of resources, or a lot of resources that they're out there. Roddy, like your show, you do a lot to help ex-offenders with getting their life back on track.
Darcy, do you mind me asking what it is you do now?
What I do now, I am a professional inspirational speaker where mm-hmm. I speak to organizations and groups
mm-hmm.
on overcoming adversity, dealing with change, also brain injury, concussion. I'm a new NCAA registered speaker, and I'm the only one that I know of right now that speaks on the topic of concussion to colleges
mm-hmm.
and also as well as overcoming adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a business analyst for State Auto Insurance
okay.
Company.
So you hold down a full-time job in addition to all that. You've really put the bad stuff behind you, haven't you? And
yes,
not only
yes.
that, but something, you know, a theme that kind of runs through this show is to make things work for you, and you have done that, and that's one of the reasons I ask you to be on the show. It's just, to me, your story is just absolutely amazing, and it's amazing to me the analogies that you can draw and the similarities that there are between your situation and people who have been through an incarceration and have been reborn back into society, and you've got just a lot of great advice. How do people get in touch with you and find your materials and so forth?
Sure, Ronnie. They may visit my website, and I encourage them to do that. It is www.darcykeith.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's DarcyKeith.com. And, you know I don't have everything in life together. And on that, I've made resources available to help folks with this process. I have DVDs and CDs that do outline the steps
mm-hmm.
for overcoming adversity and creating a better future that would help them. You know, I'm sometimes a visual person, and I like to hear it too. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, I have both of those options and products, and as well as I'm contributing author to two books, both faith-based and corporate. On my website, so you know, and also you know, they're welcome, as you mentioned earlier, to go out and read my blog, which is, you can get to that through my website, www.darcykeith.com.
Darcy, you've got a lot of great stuff out there. This is for all you listening, this is someone we can look to for little tidbits of advice on how to move forward with a positive and productive future. Darcy Key, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much again, Rodney, for having me. It was my pleasure.
My name's Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Rose and I absolutely love getting emails from you guys. Go ahead and continue to do that because it just thrills us. You can catch us at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop us a line. Come to the end of another show. I want to thank my special guest, Darcy Keith. You want to be sure and go check out her webpage and see her book and the kinds of things that she has out there for ex-offenders. Very, very cool. And I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.